Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, 1330 AM.
It don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. It don't mean a thing. All you do is start to sing. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You've got that rhythm, give it everything you got. Oh, it don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing.
Thing if it ain't got that swing. That's some early Mills Brothers. This is Tube Talk. Welcome aboard, folks. It's Friday night. We've got a nifty guest. We've got some swell music. You found the right place on your radio dial here at WRCA 1330 AM and streaming on the WRCA 1330 AM website. You know, this is the highlight of my week. You know, I hope it's the highlight of your week. It's one of the highlights of my week. I do have more than one. This is a biggie, though. You know, I had the good fortune to speak with a fellow the other day who was employed by an iconic Boston department store for over 30 years. He was a men's furnishing specialist. You know, so he worked in the clothing department. He could spot a 42 long coming off that elevator a mile away. And, you know, we were waxing nostalgic for the days when you could go to a store and get measured for your shoes, a suit, get tailoring services. And as you got off the subway, chances are you could get a shine, a haircut, and a paper on your way uptown. Yet you would be led to believe that we live in the era of convenience. Well, what could be more convenient than life like that? And yes, we can buy a product at the click of a button. Who do you ask if it will fit? Who can tailor it for you? Before you get to buy it, will the man make sure it fits? Most guys wouldn't let you go out of the door if that suit wasn't cut just right, your sleeves, your collar, oh, look at those pants. We've got to get them up over the shoes. That was service. And most of this was all provided at no additional cost to the consumer, and they were professional salesmen and women who knew their stock, knew their style, and what would be most flattering for you, and you could get all this swell advice at no cost. Those were the days, folks, the golden days, not only of radio, but golden days of retail, if you ask me. Well, here at Tube Talk, we hope our music and chat fits your vintage radio lifestyle, all at no extra charge. As for the knowledgeable employee behind the counter, or behind the mic in this case, who knows his stuff, well, we've been looking for somebody for a couple of years or so. So if you know somebody, let me know. While we are on the topic of professionals at work, we would be remiss if we did not bring this up. If you wish to give your radio a professional, factory-finished look, you need to check out RichmondDesignsInc.com. Yes, friends, Kenneth Richmond Designs has grill cloth that matches the original on so many popular radios. There are more Zenith patterns coming in soon. It is up to us to support your radio restoration professionals who help bring originality to our project. And that's what you'll find with the classic grill cloths available to you at richmonddesignsinc.com. Check it out online. Not only you'll see all the nifty grill cloth that Kenny has down there for you to help you finish your project, he's got some pictures of projects and some nifty photographs of some radios he's done. If you'd like to visit an online museum, that's the place. But remember, richmonddesignsinc.com is your source for classic grill cloth for that classic set. And here's a little classic music. Cole Porter, composition.
I feel a sudden urge to sing the kind of ditty that invokes the spring. So control your desire to curse while I crucify the verse. This verse I've started seems to me the ten antithesis of melody. So to spare you all the pain, I'll skip the darn thing and sing the refrain. The night is young, the skies are clear, and if you wanna go walking, dear, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delightful. You're sentimental, 'cause so am I. It's delightful, it's delicious, it's lovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low, let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. When I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's dilemmit, it's deluxe, it's delovely. You can tell at a glance what a swell night this is for romance. You can hear dear Mother Nature murmuring low, let yourself go, so please be sweet, my chickadee. And when I kiss you, just say to me, it's delightful, it's delicious, it's delectable, it's delirious, it's dilemma, it's dilemmit, it's deluxe, it's delovely.
I give to you, and you give to me. True love, true love. So on and on, it will always be true love. Guardian angel on high with nothing to do but to give to you and to give to me.
Thank you.
nothing to do but to give to you and to give to me. Love.
Thanks, Dean. We had a little Dean Martin there, True Love. And before that, we had It's the Lovely. That was Ella Fitzgerald and the Buddy Brigman Orchestra. I'm Paul Burish. This is Tube Talk, giving you something nice to put through your classic vintage radio. And before we head down the hallway to the parlor tonight for a nifty radio chat, let's sneak in one more song, shall we? That's Take the A-Train, a perennial classic, a favorite. Our guest this evening is Olin Schuler. He is president of the Antique Radio Club of Illinois, and we've got the Big Wing Ding coming up soon. Radio Fest is coming, and Olin is here to fill us in on it. Olin, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to be with you once again, Paul. And yes, we are looking forward to Radio Fest, which will open on Thursday night, July 31st, and then run through Friday and Saturday, ending in the middle of the day on Saturday, August the 2nd. So we have done our planning, and we're executing our plans, and things are generally coming together, and we think we'll have a pretty good show this year.
Sounds
very excellent show.
Sounds very good. You sound like an admiral there. You're ready to go. You're ready to launch.
That's right.
Well, you know, the great thing about this is it's a three-day event. You get folks from all over the country, and you know, I haven't talked to anybody yet who said, "Gee, I didn't have a good time," or "I didn't find something of interest," because there's a lot going on. So I guess on Thursday, the 31st, is registration and a big auction, and then yes. We got some free pizza, huh?
Yeah, and our mutual friend Jim Sargent from VPRS down in the great state of Texas.
We cannot forget him.
Join us as our auctioneer, and we always look forward to having Jim with us.
Yeah, you know, I was commenting because I had had Brett Manassa on, who did a Radio Fest little seminar a few years back, and you know he knows Jim as well. And I said, you know, I had Jim on once, and I let him get away without giving us, you know, a little bit of that auction talk. So, you know, if you see Jim, tell him I was asking for him, because not only is he a good radio guy, he does a great job, professional, and
yes.
He knows his stuff. Now, on the Saturday, we've got Thursday, and we've got the auction and the pizza party, which I'm sure is a hit. And
yes,
then
that auction will start about 6:30 in the evening, and it'll generally wrap up a little bit before 10. And then as soon as that's over, while the people are checking out, then will be the time for pizza, and we wind up burning the candle at both ends on that night. We're usually up there fairly late, but it's always great because guys getting together, visiting, and pizza, and feeling good about things they've sold, other guys feeling good about things they've bought.
Yeah, and you know, another thing is they get a chance to catch up if they haven't seen anybody, you know, for a little while who they know.
That's
always
right.
Comes out to Radio Fest,
yeah.
Which is, you know, part of the fun. We've got, we always have a schedule and we always have speakers and things to do at swamp meets and whatnot, but, you know, you got to have enough time to catch up with your old pals and swap
That's
war
right.
stories and a few
That's
restoration
right.
stories and get somebody who can listen to you with a sympathetic ear. And then Friday is a really big day, so you've got a flea market going on all day.
That's right.
Yikes.
And we will have a swap meet all day starting from about 7 a.m. and we'll wrap it up somewhere around 5 o'clock. And in a phrase just a few seconds ago, you said exchanging war stories. And that's kind of our theme this year. We are commemorating the 100th anniversary of the start of World War I, and we're commemorating the 70th anniversary of D-Day, and we have a special atrium display planned, working out with artifacts from both of the wars.
Well, that's going to be neat. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who are very interested. They love any type of communication receivers. That's, you know, the boat anchors
yep.
are always a hit. And, you know, it's also interesting, too, and again, we keep coming back to all your members because you have such interesting members in Archie. My pal Dan Hsu out there, once I saw a nice article, I spoke to him about it once or twice. He restored a temple, which was a morale radio that he had found,
yeah.
and,
yeah.
you know, that's all part of that World War II history,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
So makes me think of transoceanics and those Zenith mm-hmm. bomber radios and all that
right.
nifty stuff. Now, you know, not to get off topic here because we're going to talk about Radio Fest, but I, you know, lots of different aspects to radio in the war, and people think about, well, putting radios in tanks and putting radios in jeeps and all the, especially, you know, Motorola, I know, was a leader in handheld communications during the war. So we think a lot about technical and about the radios themselves. I once read a fascinating story about, you know, radio on the home front back here in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
and it was in a veterans magazine, and it was some folks who would, you know, apparently listen to Axis Sally or whatever they could pick up on shortwave,
mm-hmm.
and they'd try to find out, you know, status of somebody's captive, a lost, you know, father, brother, friend,
mm-hmm.
and then they'd relay that information, whether they had to send a telegram or a letter, then say, gee, I heard that, you know, Al Smith, your uncle, they said he was okay. I hope it's true, but I heard it, and they'll tell them the date, the time that they heard it, and sometimes they might even give a clue as to where he was picked up or in what action was he captured. And just, you know, can you imagine in a pre-internet world, you know, no email,
That's right.
no cell phones, and you're basically, you know, through the magic of a radio and somebody who's a good soul stay up and listen when they can hear it on shortwave, and then to make the expense or the trouble to make a telephone call or to
That's
send
right.
you a letter, telegram, to let you know. So, I mean, there's an awful lot of aspects, and it's great that that's going to be the theme for this year's Radio Fest. So, on, you know, we've got the flea market all day. You run a special event ham radio station all day.
That's right. And then we have a speakers forum, which
uh-huh.
runs from 9 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. And
mm-hmm.
one of our speakers will be a Chicago area ham, W9WR, Bill Ross. And he will be talking about amateur radio activity as it was things that amateur radio operators did during World War II during their enforced silence time.
Very interesting. And we've got several people. So you've got Bill Ross, we've got a familiar name here. I saw Motorola in World War II, Olin Schuller. I wonder who that could be.
Yes, highly suspect fellow, but I catch up with him every now and then. And, yeah, I will do an article, do a presentation on the activities of Motorola during World War II. Have a very interesting story in how the handy-talkie was developed and some other things that went on during the war years with Motorola. Our founder and or the founder and president Bob or Paul Galvin was quite concerned about taking care of his distributors and his suppliers during World War II because some of them were rather put on to hard times.
Sure.
If they couldn't get a war contract, there were some problems in their business entities staying in existence. And so Paul Galvin found a way to fix that, and I will describe that.
Well, that'll be very interesting. You know, and again, just running right here, we run around with different topics. There's just a funny story I'll mention here, walkie-talkies and the like, handy-talkies. I had a radio pal, and I haven't seen him. I hope he's still doing okay. He ran one of the last TV and radio repair shops in the greater Boston area. He was over in Brookline. His name was Red Phillips. So I'm in there one day, and I was trying to get a line on something through him. So I'm looking at his bulletin board, and there's a picture of a guy in the Navy, and he's on a handy-talkie or walkie-talkie for those not familiar with the term. And you know what? In 1943, he was red. He had red hair. A big shock of it. And he goes, you know, that's how it all got started. My interest in communications equipment and radio and TV. I learned a lot in the war. He was in the radio corps in the Navy. And he said, when I came out of the war, you know, just an explosion, you know, with TV coming on the scene and more developments in radio and FM coming up. So, you know, that whole World War II generation, especially if they were related to communication somehow during the war, I mean, they come out and you have a civilian army, so to speak, to kick off all of these advancements in civilian communication. So I'm sure the talk on Motorola is going to be interesting because...
Now, we have another very good presentation coming from a World War II bombardier who flew in B-17s, 35 missions, and... and finished his 35 missions just a few days before the end of World War II.
Yeah, and that's Frank Glass, if I'm pronouncing his name
right. Frank Glass. I had a nice visit with him personally Saturday night. I was in the Chicago area and visited with him a bit, and he will do a nice job for us.
Now you've also...
Another World War II related activity was the Voice of America that developed and emerged. And one of the Voice of America stations was down in the Cincinnati area. And a fellow who worked for WLW and was quite an antique radio expert, and more than being an antique radio collector... He was an exceptionally kind and generous gentleman, and he passed away some time back, and we are going to have two fellows from the Cincinnati Club do a presentation on the life and times of Charlie Stinger.
Well, that ought to be interesting. He'd be very pleased that that he could be fit in there. And I think I've read a little piece on him, if I'm not mistaken, in your Archie newsletter. I think there was a little piece on him.
There was an article on his passing in the last previous issue.
Yeah, he seemed like a heck of a guy and somebody who not only loved radio, he loved his fellow man. And he was a believer in what radio could accomplish for the greater good as far as the VOA.
He was one of the first people that I met at an earlier radio fest about 2003, and I heard him speak, and then saw him sitting by himself in the headquarters tent, and went over and visited with him a bit, And by the time I left there, I was convinced that the Antique Radio Club of Illinois was really a cool place if they had guys like him around. And that's kind of why I'm here now.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that strikes me. I go to different, you know, shows and flea markets, and, you know, occasionally you'll chat with somebody. We had a, you know, we've got a good group of senior members, I guess I'll say, up in the New England Club, and, you know, they never cease to fascinate me with an interesting story, but they're also, you know, very kind folk, and they're always willing to help you with a problem, not talk it down to you. You know, if you're not an engineer, they'll help you out, and they'll try to explain it in a language that you can. Yeah. But, you know, they make such a nice impression that, you know, you say, gee, you know, it's money well spent, and it's just another reason to come to these events to, you know, keep in touch and touch base with them. Now, we had a fellow, we did something a little similar to what you guys do, not on the scale of Radio Fest. We had a fellow who came and spoke, Dr. Ralph Baer. He spoke at one of our New England Antique Radio Club meetings, one of our first speakers. So, see, we're making some progress here. We had a speaker. And while he was had a very interesting career in electronics, and especially in the development of early video games, he spoke pretty extensively on a lot of his experiences in World War II. And out of everything, the crowd seemed to be most interested in that, of everything. And, again, it's just this connection, radio in World War II. He even donated a transoceanic type radio to the club that apparently he had brought back from France with him. So it's just an interesting time frame and a lot of developments in radio. And let's see who else we have out here. You have a radio clinic under the big top with, if I pronounce his name correctly here.
Ed, yeah, that is Ed Huther.
Huther,
and,
yep.
Ed is a long-time radio and electronics engineer, and in more recent years he's into retirement now and does antique radio repair and restoration, and he even helped me on a project the other week where I had something that I knew he was tooled up to do and he could do, and he could do it bigger, more, better, nicer than I could. So I said, here, Ed, here's a good job for you.
Well, you know, I mean, that's, I mean, I'm sure he was happy to help you out as well. So,
oh, he was.
Always nice when you have that educational aspect of things, especially to people who might be new. They get a little bit of a feel for just what's involved, and if they can ask some free questions and get a little advice on something, maybe a referral to somebody who could help them out. Mm-hmm. Those are topics that are always well received in any type of radio program. And let's see, what else do we have? Vacuum tube audio with Pete Nusada?
Oh, yeah. Now, Pete Nusada is a lifetime audiophile. He's been an audiophile since he was, I think he discovered girls and vacuum tube audio about the same time. And he lived through the various eras and is familiar with how it has unfolded and how vacuum tube audio was originally in its original classic years, and then how things transitioned into solid state, and now the nostalgic switch back again to a group of people that are into vacuum tube audio and vinyl recordings.
Yeah, you know, and it was, I picked up on a news piece that somebody was circulating from the New Jersey Antique Radio Club, and I guess CBS, I don't know if it was their morning show or if it was on the news, they did a big piece on the resurgence of vinyl. Yes, folks, it's coming back. So if you still have those records down in the basement, don't get rid of them just yet, because there's a whole movement afoot, and especially with some of the younger folks who are interested in hearing what that real sound was like reproduced off of a disc, as opposed to a digital sound, and it's getting quite popular once again, and it must be if it's making the headlines over at CBS News. So that sounds like a good forum to have somebody who's seen it all, so to speak, that you could do some questions and answers with. So,
and
that's, you know, as if that's not enough, Saturday, free seller's raffle and then a donation auction at 9:30, and you run the flea market again up until noon. And if
that's right, and now that donation auction is the place for the beginning collector to get their hands on good restoration projects at a very reasonable price. those are items that are in need of some restoration work, but they are good items, and I know of more than one radio contest winner that came out of somebody's donation auction.
And the
collector took it and restored it, put it into a contest, and won the contest with it.
Well, you know, the other nice thing about those too is if you find something, even if it looks a little rough, you know, those are good projects, especially for somebody who's beginning or intermediate. You know, you don't feel quite as hesitant about trying your skills out on it, because, you know, you usually get it at a great price, and if it's cosmetically a little bit challenged there, well, you know what? What do you got to lose? So, you know, and again, with some good resources, some different people in the club might be able to get you a lift. You might
That's
get
right.
a very nice set for a very reasonable price, and hopefully that builds a little enthusiasm, too, with somebody who might not have a lot of bucks.
Each year I see a few of the younger beginning collectors doing their buying there.
Well, that's good. That's nice to see. Very nice to see. Now, as if this isn't all enough, folks, just like on those TV ads, you know, but wait, there's more. Now, you guys have got a Friday night banquet, and you have some special guests sort of recreating that whole 40s feel, a tribute to the Andrews Sisters with Chicago's very own, the Legacy Girls. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, because that sounds like the icing on the cake here.
They are, and I have seen their videos on the internet, listened to them work, and now I was around in the heyday of the Andrews Sisters, and even had an opportunity to see them in person.
Very
one
cool.
time. And,
Very cool.
So I'm a number one Andrews Sisters fan, and they do it like it's supposed to be done. I'm anxious to. I hope I can talk them into doing my favorite Andrews Sisters song. I'm sure I can con them into singing Rum and Coca-Cola.
Well, put on a little charm, and I bet you can get it.
I bet I can do it.
Well, you know, the other thing is, who better to say that a group is a good group? Somebody who's seen the real thing, and then, you know, as I mentioned to you before we came on, they seem to have a real fun time doing it. And I saw yes. some of the pictures. They do outreach to veterans groups, and they work with a lot of seniors, mm-hmm. and everybody seems to have a good time, and they really seem to enjoy bringing that a little bit of that old feeling back to some of the old timers, and you know, so God bless them for that. That should be fun, and just another reason you need to go to Radio Fest. Get out. If you got to get out there, take a bus, take a boat, take a plane. I guess you could take a boat if you came
That's
through the
right.
Great Lakes. And it all kicks off Thursday, July 31st, and it winds down Saturday, August 2nd. I hope the weather is great. I hope you have a great turnout.
I do, too. I'm days are getting near enough now that I will start watching five-day forecast.
Now, so drop by, say hi to Olin Schuler and the gang over at the Antique Radio Club of Illinois. They'd love to have you. And we're just going to take 1 second here. We're going to hit the pause button and remind everyone, this is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio. Our guest is Olin Schuler from the Antique Radio Club of Illinois. I am Paul Burish, and, you know, who could ask for anything more, huh? Anyway, now, you had written an article, Olin, back in one of the Archie newsletters, and I really like the whole tone of the thing. You treat a radio as if it's almost an old friend, and you title the article, you know, Radios I Have Known in My Life. And, you know, they do kind of become like family members, and especially for folks when that was their big source of entertainment in the house, it could even be a little aggravating, like your little brother or your big sister, you know, when you couldn't tune in the station you wanted to, or a tube would blow out, you'd almost get upset at it like it was a person. But you had an interesting story about a radio that meant a lot early in your life, and I think it was a Crosley.
Yes. Let's kind of start back at the beginning, if we have time.
Sure, you go ahead. I'll watch the clock.
My very, very first recollection of radio of any kind was with an earlier model Crosley. That was a model Crosley 51. It was battery-operated, two-tube super regenerative. and that operated with earphones.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that the first things that I learned about radio, I learned around that little Crosley. One time I reached where I shouldn't have and got my 5-year-old fingers across two terminals of the 90-volt battery, and learned at that age what an electrical shock felt like. And then I was particularly taken by listening to the radio with earphones that blocks out all of the room noise. And, of course, radio studios are quiet. And I was impressed by just the quiet clarity of the signal.
Hmm.
And I realized later that, hey, Olin, you recognized a good signal-to-noise ratio when you heard it.
You didn't know what it was, but you just knew it sounded
right. I knew what it sounded like.
That's right. That's right.
And then we lived in an area where the nearest power line that could cause interference was like 15 miles away.
Well, it's a beautiful thing.
So it would be quiet. But I learned about what interference was, because neighbors a block or two away powered their radio by a wind powered generator.
Uh huh. They might have had a wind charger.
And when Gaither's family was charging their radio batteries, I could hear the electrical noise from the generator in our little two-tube Crosley.
Well, you know, you still get some of those noises. You know, if I go out and turn the electric stove on and I'm on the broadcast band on a vintage set out in the other room, I'll hear it come on and I'll hear it come off. You know, I'll hear the little But it's funny how you learn.
And then when I was maybe 6 years old, seven years old, this was in the bottoms of the Depression, about 1937. We visited a prosperous aunt and uncle down in suburban St. Louis, and they'd just gotten a new radio.
Oh, boy.
Big. Well, it was taller than I was.
Oh, that's a treat.
And when it played and there was music, there was this noise in the this sound in the background that sounded like thunder, and it was in time with the music, and that was the bass notes, the loud bass notes.
Sure, they must have had a nice speaker in that radio.
And my aunt was saying what good tone that was. That's a radio with excellent tone. So I thought, okay, big cabinet, boomy bass. That is good tone.
So you're coming up through the ranks now. You're an aspiring radio repairman right now.
So then, about 1935, I guess, then we, 35, 36, power lines came to our town, and the little two-tube Crosley was replaced by an Atwater Kent, second-hand Atwater Kent. By the time my dad finished paying for wiring the house, he didn't have very much money left, so it was a secondhand radio that we got to operate with.
Well, the secondhand Atwater Kent is still pretty darn good, let me tell you.
And that was a good one. And it had a nice big loudspeaker in it, good sound, and we then as a family could listen to all of the radio programs. And during the Depression, when no one had any money, with that secondhand Atwater Kent, we could hear the very best entertainment that there was available on the radio to anybody from the richest man in town to guys like us.
Well, you know,
and so it was just great.
All you had to do was put up with those singing commercials.
And I remember the birth of the singing commercials.
And you survived.
I remember the first singing commercial of memory was for Pepsi Cola.
Pepsi Cola hits the spot twice as much for nickel too, something along those lines.
Yeah, twice as much for a nickel too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you, and that was 1938, 1939, I think.
Yeah, I still like to listen to some of those. It's funny because you know it makes you realize that no matter how much things have changed. You know, if you go online, what do you get? You get pop-up commercials. If you turn on the TV, there's the commercial. If you turn on your old radio, you still get commercials. And in today's day and age, it's something we just can't seem to quite get away from. So that's great. And a secondhand Atwater Kent, I mean, Atwater Kent's a highly prized, and Atwater Kent eventually stopped making radios in the 30s because they didn't want to compete with all the low-price sets.
Yes, and so then about 1937, I was in the second grade, and one afternoon, my dad disappeared, went off somewhere, and half hour, so hour later, he came back carrying this big box.
Uh-oh.
And I could read enough at that time that I could read some of the lettering on the box, and I saw the name Crosley. I recognized that from seeing it on the on the Crosley radio, and there was a picture on the box of two globes in a big circle.
Ooh.
With words that said, "You're there with a Crosley."
That's it.
And so out of this, I was standing there looking. I was probably twice as tall as the box.
Well, you know, that's like a you know, Christmas comes early when a box like that came into a household.
Enough that my dad opened the flaps and I could look in there and see this gorgeous looking wood polished speaker grill, and he lifted it out, and there was a drop dead gorgeous Crosley Model 716 with a big round dial and a big dial glass that had white lettering and the dial scales in three different colors. It was beautiful, and it still is to this day.
Well, that's a surprise to come out of that box when you're a kid. You say, "Hey, I'm going to be staring at that dial for a long time to come."
That's right. And so we put it into operation, and it had short wave bands on it. We operated the Crosley off of an outside antenna that had been originally put up for the two-tube super regen, and so with a good antenna, we could pick up broadcast stations exceptionally well, and then also on shortwave, and we did some shortwave listening in the time right after we got it, and I believe that we heard probably rebroadcasts of some of Hitler's rantings
history in the making.
Yeah, on the shortwave circuits back in the late 30s. But and my mother liked to find the stations that were broadcasting in either Czech or Polish, because my mother was a full-blooded Czech. And spoke the language, and we would dig around and find stations that were broadcasting in that language. But then, as the novelty wore off and day-to-day use came, we listened to all of the popular radio programs.
Sure.
We had a regular listening roster every night of the week, and every night of the week was the best entertainment money could buy anywhere. And there we were in central Illinois enjoying it.
Well, I tell you what, Olin, you know, it's great to talk to someone who was there and can sort of help recapture that whole feel. And I'll tell you a secret here. I'm actually part Czech. My great-grandfather came from Prague. And when he came over a little before, well, let's say just about the turn of the century, he was a tailor by trade. So he shows up here and was fairly happy in his new country. Well, then they passed the Volstead Act. And someone told him you weren't going to be able to buy beer anymore. And he wondered what kind of a godforsaken, uncivilized country had he come to that they were going to take his beer away. So, you know, but no, we've been here ever since. But we share a little bit of the heritage department there. But it is interesting to look at things through somebody else's perspective. He loved the country, but when they said no more beer, he said, well, I don't know, maybe I should be heading back. Anyway, I appreciate all the talk on Radio Fest. It was great to talk it up a little bit. It's a super event. Folks, you can find out more at www.antiqueradio.org. Go check out the Archi website. Check out Radio Fest. Go by. Say hi to Olin. Olin, thanks for sharing all the info on Radio Fest and for all your memories about the great days of radio. It's been super.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Good night now. Bye-bye.
Good night.
A buzzard took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzard tried to throw the monkey off of his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of diving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. The buzzer told the monkey, you are choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free. The monkey looked the buzzer right dead in the eye and said, your story's so touching, it sounds just like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Choking me, release your hold, then I will set you free. The monkey looked the buzzard right dead in the eye and said, your story's so touching, it sounds just like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right.
Straighten up and fly right out to Radio Fest 2014, July 31st through August 2nd. Olin Schuller, Little Andrew Sisters there for you. Thanks so much for being our guest tonight, right here on Tube Talk. Tuxedo Junction, Erskine Hawkins. Almost time for us to power down the set and head out the door for tonight. Friends, thanks for listening. Tell all your pals about Tube Talk. If you'd like to contact the show, it's tubetalk1@gmail.com. That's tubetalk1@gmail.com. You can learn a little more about us at tubetalkclassicradioshow.org. Hope you enjoyed tonight's program, friends. We'll see you again soon. You rascal.
I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
Rascal, you.
I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
Rascal, you.
When you're dead and 6 feet deep, no more chicken will you eat, or you dog. You rascal, you.
Rascal, you.
I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I took you into my home, you wouldn't leave my wife alone, or you dog, you rascal, you. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. What is it that you got that makes my wife think you're so hot? Oh, you dog, you rascal, you. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I'll be standing on the corner high when they bring your body by. Oh, you dog, you rascal, you.
You rascal, you. That's the Mills Brothers. They got their start out on WLW. See you later, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Come on, my honey, let's spend it, send it, lend it, roll.